שלום, אנחנו לומדים בכתבי רבש כרך ב', עמוד 1290.
Hello, we're studying in the writings of Rabash, second volume, article, What is the rose among the thorns in the work? You can ask questions and find the study materials in kab.tv, and selected questions will be live. Writings of Rabash, second volume, page 7091, article, What is the rose among the thorns in work? There's no English text. In the secret Zohar it says as follows: as a rose among the thorns, so is my wife among the girls. The Creator wanted to make Israel as up above, so that there would be a single rose in the land, as the upper rose, which is Malchut, and a rose that brings out a scent and is finer than all the other roses in the world. It's but that one that grew among the thorns, and that one smells properly. These are the 70 souls, and he brought them among the thorns, who are the Egyptians. Then the rose blossomed among them. Since the Creator wanted to bring out the rose and to gather it from among them, then the thorns dried out and thrown away and were spoiled and were not considered as anything. So far his words.
This means, it's interesting what he writes, that the lily or the rose can develop only if it grows among thorns, the spikes. Otherwise, it cannot develop well.
And we have to understand, what does it imply in the work that a person has to resemble the upper rose? And why specifically time that a person is among the thorns, that a person is considered as finer and better, more refined than all other people? As written, that therefore the 70 souls, 70 people went down to Egypt in order for them to be finer. And Baal HaSulam said, why is Malchut called a rose? This is because a person cannot take on the burden of the kingdom of heavens except by overcoming the will to receive in him. Since it comes and asks the person at the time that the person wants to work in order to bestow, meaning for the benefit of the Creator and not for his own benefit, and it asks, what is that work for you? Meaning, what will you gain out of wanting to work for the benefit of the Creator? And as written in the Haggadah of Pesach, the answer is, you should blunt, dull his teeth. Meaning, you should not argue with him, rather blunt his teeth. That you have to work with him forcefully and overcome it. Meaning that at the time that he comes with his questions, and you have to remember that he comes with those questions specifically at a time that a person wants to work in order to bestow, then there is room to ask why. Whereas if a person is working in order to receive a reward, that wicked has nothing to ask about. So we should not answer him and think about excuses that we can give him. Rather, the person has to know that it's a waste of time trying to find answers for his questions. Rather, when it comes and asks, immediately the person has to work with him forcefully and overcome it with force and not by arguments. And since every time, even after a person has already overcome it, yet he's not impressed by it. Rather, every time that the person wants to do something for the benefit of the Creator, immediately he comes with his questions. Therefore, there are many times here you should blunt his teeth. And because of that, the Malchut is called Shoshana, a rose, meaning when a person wants to merit the aspect of the kingdom of heaven, which is called Emunah, faith, he has to go through a process of many times blunt out his teeth, shinaim. Therefore, Malchut is called Shoshana, rose. And he said that this is the meaning of the conqueror or the conductor over the roses, meaning that the issue of the matter of victory or conducting comes specifically through Shoshanim roses. By that we can explain what does it mean as a rose among the thorns, and why is it specifically when she's among the thorns that she's finer than all other roses. Rather, we have to know what is the issue of thorns, spikes in the work. Because in corporeality, the thorns pinch, prick the rose. And in the work, what does it imply? The meaning would be that at the time that the wicked comes and asks, what is that work for you? With those questions, he stings the thought and heart of the man and causes the man suffering. Just like the thorns that sting in corporeality, so do these questions sting the person. And he suffers, since those questions push him away from the work, because not always a person is able to overcome his questions. And the person begins to see how he starts descending, falling from sanctity. Because usually those questions come at the time of the ascent, meaning at the time that a person realizes that it is worthwhile to work in order to bestow. And suddenly he comes with his questions, and the person has to overcome him. Then that man asks for help from the Creator, that he would help him, since he sees that by his own accord he is unable to overcome him. It follows that he always needs the mercy of heaven. And as written in the Zohar, the help that comes from above is the aspect of the soul. That each time he receives, which is called the help that he receives from above, it is light that gives force to the person to overcome the evil in him. About that, they said, one who comes to be purified is being aided. By this, we have to explain what is written as a rose among the thorns, and a rose that puts out a scent and is finer than all the other roses in the world is but that one that grew among the thorns. Meaning again, since she is among the thorns, and they prick her, the intention is the aspect of the kingdom of heavens that the person takes upon himself to work in order to bestow. That is called a rose. And then the wicked comes with his questions of, what is that work for you? And they sting the aspect of the kingdom of heavens that he has in his heart. And he has to overcome each time, and to pray, and to ask for help. And by that, the rose puts forth a scent, that the issue of scent is as written, and they smelled in the fear of the Lord that it is finer than all the other roses in the world who have no thorns that would sting them. Those roses are not as fine as the rose that is among the thorns. And what does that come to teach us? That a person should not be impressed by the fact that each time the wicked comes to him and asks this question of, what is that work for you? And he cannot overcome him. It is not as the person sometimes thinks that those thoughts come to him because he is not qualified for the work of the Creator. Rather, the other way around. The fact that the wicked always comes to him is because from above they want to give him help in order for him to attain the aspect of the upper sanctity. That is why they give him all of these disturbances, so that he'll have a place of a lack to ask for help. Therefore, at the time that a person sees that he is not qualified from the side of nature to be able to work in order to bestow, then the work is upon him to increase the prayer to the Creator, to give him help from above, so that he would be able to work in order to bestow. Whereas just any rose, meaning all the other people who keep the Torah and mitzvot in order to receive a reward, even though this is also an aspect of a rose, meaning even engaging in Torah and mitzvot in order to receive a reward, the body does not agree to it, and it also requires work and exertion, because you have to believe in punishment and reward, and the body resists that as well. And yet, since this is not against nature, since one's work is for himself, for his own benefit, the rose in his heart is not, which is called the kingdom of heavens, does not feel that there are thorns that sting it. Therefore, even though lo lishma, not for the sake of the Creator, is something important. However, this is called just any rose, because he does not receive the stings from the thorns. Therefore, one does not have the need to pray to the Creator to give him help in order to overcome, and therefore he does not extend holiness from above, that by that he'll receive help from above. Therefore, it is called just a rose. Whereas a rose among the thorns is finer than all the other roses in the world, because the pricks, meaning the sufferings that one receives from the wicked one, causes him that each time he receives a new force from above, and by that his soul grows. Therefore, she's finer than all the other roses in the world. By that, it turns out that the person has to be careful, that he should not say that at the time that he sees that the wicked always comes to him with these questions that are called thorns, and they sting the rose in his heart, he must not say that this is a sign that he is unworthy of that work of bestowal, because this is not for him, since he sees that he doesn't have the force to overcome the evil. Rather, a person has to believe that any person has the strength to work and reach adhesion with the Creator. As our sages said, a man should always see himself as half guilty and half innocent. Meaning, according to the good that is in him, so is the force of the evil. Otherwise, how can the man decide the evil, since the evil is greater than the good? Rather, we have to believe in our sages who said that, and this is precisely so that the man would have the strength to decide to the scale of merit. Therefore, always, in any state, the evil does not have a greater strength than the good that is in him. This is why they said, he made a single mitzvah. Happy is he, since he decided himself and the whole world to the scale of merit. And accordingly, we have to interpret what is written, the rich will not increase, and the poor will not diminish from half of the shekel. We have to understand, what does this imply to us in the work? Rather, again, that we have to know that this has given us the choice, as written, look, I have given before you today life and good and death and evil, and you have chosen life so that you shall live and your offspring. It is known that the issue of choice is that a person has to decide what is better for him. And this is relevant to say when the two of them are equal and one does not know what to choose. Then he's given that directive that you have to make that choice, as our sages said, that a person has to see himself as half guilty and half innocent. And then it is relevant to talk about choice. And accordingly, we have to say that one who sees that he didn't succeed in the work and wants to escape the battle because he sees that he is unable to work for the sake of heavens, because he was born with worse virtues than other people, and also he sees that he is weak in character and therefore does not have the force to overcome the evil in him, the texts come to teach us about that, that a person does not have a greater strength in the evil in him, rather it is according to the magnitude of the good. Meaning, if a person sees that he is weak in character, or that he has worse virtues than somebody else, he has to know that there is no greater strength to the evil in him than to the good in him. They are always equal, half by half. Therefore, if he sees that a person has better virtues than what he has, he must not say that for the other one it is easier to work than it is for him. Therefore, the other one is working. Rather, a person has to know that every person has evil according to the magnitude of the good that is in him. Therefore, if the other one has better qualities, then the other one correspondingly also has a greater force of evil. And this is, as we said again above, that always the good and the evil are equal in their forces. And this is what the text says, that the rich one will not increase and the poor will not diminish from the half of the shekel to give the donation to the Creator and atone for your souls. And we have to explain, rich, meaning even though he's rich in knowledge and in good qualities, he will not give more than half of the shekel, because a half is called a lack, deficiency, which is what we give as a donation to the Lord, that the Creator would fulfill his deficiency, as written, that the prayer makes a half, that we should not say that he gives greater strength than a half by having good qualities. Rather, it is precisely a half for the above-mentioned reason that, corresponding to the goodness in him, he has greater evil than somebody else. It follows that a person never gives more than half. And similarly, and the poor will not give less, meaning one who is poor, meaning poor in knowledge and in good qualities, yet he overcomes and does not escape the battle, and the Creator helps him, he should also not say that he is giving lesser forces than somebody else, since he sees that he is poor in knowledge. Therefore, when the Creator helps him and brings him closer to him, he should not say that he has invested less than half of the forces of the work in order to overcome the evil in him. Rather, he also gave a half, because the evil in him did not have such a great strength. As we said above, that the fulfillment would be greater than the deficiency of the forces in the evil. Rather, it is always half over half. And this is written that the poor should not pay less than half the shekel, meaning that always the good and the bad are equal. Therefore, a person must not say that he is not capable of this work, since he has to invest greater forces than others. Rather, a person never gives more than half a shekel. And this is as written to give the donation to the Lord, meaning that the person has to give a donation, a contribution to the Lord, that is only a half. Meaning the deficiency, the lack that a person feels, that the Creator would help to give the fulfillment. And what is the fulfillment? An answer. The fulfillment is always over what the man is lacking. Therefore, when a man begins to work, he has to attain a lack, a deficiency for the Creator to help him, that he would have that he would have the will to bestow. And that is the main work, to attain this desire.
So far, is it understood? No questions, yes? Exactly according to what we read, you're responsible not to get us confused.
John from Chicago is asking, what does it mean to blunt his teeth?
Not yet known. We haven't spoke about it yet. More?
Gadi from Ra'anana is asking, what does it mean to overcome the arguments of the wicked through force and not by arguing with him, debating with him?
By work, by practical means. That means by force. That I don't start debating with it, meaning I don't start philosophizing, being like a philosopher about it. I need strength to go against it, and that's it. No arguments. It doesn't matter what anyone says. What matters is the result.
Timur from Istanbul is asking, why does the Creator give us these thoughts with the thorns?
This we still haven't clarified, but it looks like without thorns, as he says, we can't grow. I can say that the thorns are exactly the same forces that help us advance, otherwise we would fall asleep within our will to receive. We would never want to rise above it. The thorns are these forces of movement that help us advance. Although we ourselves are drawn to rest and fulfillment and a good feeling per se, and so, without any choice, once a person disregards the opportunity to advance by himself, and every time he is drawn to just take a rest, to justify himself and say that what he's doing is sufficient, then his laziness and stubbornness simply accumulates and accumulates until some major thorn comes his way, and then he starts yelling, crying, and advancing. And I think everyone here can verify that from experience. Sometimes you feel it more, sometimes less. And that's why a person is encouraged to find the forces of development by himself and not to wait for the thorns. Although the thorns will appear nevertheless, because it's impossible without them.
Both Meir and Yuval from Yokneam are asking about half the shekel. What does it represent, and why is it called to give half the shekel? You need to achieve a deficiency, a lack.
The half means that I need to bring the kli, the chisolon, the deficiency. And the fulfillment, on the other hand, comes from above. So my deficiency is to receive the force of bestowal. If it's a correct deficiency, I will receive the other half. Usually, what we come with is a vessel of reception. So we cry, give me, give me. And he doesn't give anything. So what's going on? So he's probably wrong, or this whole method isn't working, and so forth. We are unaware that our vessel is not for what the Creator actually gives. What He gives is only for the vessel of bestowal, the light that reforms. If that's what you're asking for real, then that's what you'll get.
Ray from the Education Center in Florida is asking, what is a scent, a smell?
The scent or the smell means that the returning light rises up to the Creator and wants to give to the Creator. It indicates how much the created being wants, yearns to also be in reciprocity with the Creator. And then, with that returning light, the Creator can provide direct light, light of Chokhmah.
There are questions about the thorns. How can you identify and recognize them and not wait for lazy, not be lazy and wait until a big thorn comes? What is the key?
It's the environment, as we say. The thorns is, well, a person needs to understand that the force to advance towards the true goal can only come from the environment, not from himself or from the study or from the teacher or from the Creator. Progress can only come from generating tension through the connection between all the friends, and that tension basically indicates the readiness of the vessel to receive correction. That is, when we discover amongst ourselves how much we would want to connect, from that tendency that as egoists we wish to connect, we discover how egoistic we are, and that our desire to connect is really for us to feel better, and it's that apparent, that surfacing egoism. So then we desire that our connection will not be for our benefit, rather to truly create a mutual common kli of bestowal, so that I'll be able to actually exit myself and not think about how much benefit I get from that connection. And this request for a state where I am outside of myself is a request that can be formed within me towards the Creator if I am envious at others, when I see how much they succeed and I don't, because this request is supernatural. And therefore, that's how we advance. I have to absorb from the environment a desire to connect through envy. Whatever happens, in spite of what happens, and then I need to receive from the society the desire that the connection will be in order to bestow outside of myself, which is completely unnatural, unfitting for me. But I want to be like them. I don't want to be less than them. That's how it is. And then I also get this acknowledgement from them that I have to turn to the Creator. And when I turn to the Creator on my own, and the Creator that I turn to after the society directs me, when it turns to the Creator, these are two totally different creators. It's a totally different form that I envision. When I envision something with respect to myself, it's about me, it's something that owes something to me, and when I turn to the Creator as what the society presents to me, that they turn to the Creator, this is everyone's creator. This is a different kind of image or form, totally different. And therefore, my address that I want to bestow to them and be like them, the way they are, and towards the Creator who bestows to them and to everyone. So now, the created being, meaning the self, that now makes the plea, is not the same I that would ask for myself. It's a different aspect, a different discernment of I, and a different form of a creator. And what I ask for, it's all totally different. And so, as a result of this, a person begins to design for himself something closer to spirituality. Well, we'll continue, yeah? I see, I was just notified that this lesson will continue until 4, yeah? Okay.
So we're continuing on page 1793, second column, second paragraph on the bottom, Nimtza, it follows. It follows that a half is called the necessity for this, meaning to feel how much it is necessary to attain this desire, meaning to attain sufferings because one does not have the will to bestow, meaning to know what is one losing but by not having the desire to bestow. And to the extent that one knows what it is that he is losing, to that extent he can feel how happy he would have been if he had the desire to bestow. And by that he attains half a thing, meaning the kli, the vessel, that the Creator would fill up his desire by giving him from above a second nature called the will to bestow. And this is as written, half the shekel to give a donation to the Lord, meaning that a person has to know that it is only possible for a person to give a half, meaning again, a prayer makes a half. That a person has to know that he is unable to give a complete shekel, which is the light and the vessel, meaning the need for the will to bestow, and that he'll have the ability on his behalf to do everything in order to bestow. Rather, half the shekel, that belongs to the work of men, meaning to only provide the lack, the deficiency. And the fulfillment is ascribed to the Creator. And this is as written, to give the donation to the Lord to attain for your souls. meaning that by the person giving the donation to the Creator, the half, then the Creator gives the other half, called the will to bestow, which is a second nature. And by that, a person receives atonement over his soul, so that he'll have the ability to do everything for the sake of heavens. Therefore, after one merits that the Creator gave him the will to bestow, and then a person merits faith in permanence, as written, we have to give gratitude to the Lord for having merited one to come closer to Him. This is as written in Psalms, "From the kingdom of the land, sing to the Lord, sing to the rider in the firmaments of east. May he raise his voice, a strong voice." That we have to explain from the kingships, kingdoms of the land, meaning those people who have merited the aspect of faith called Malchut and Aretz, land, sing to the Lord, that they would sing over their Creator giving them the aspect of faith. And also Malchut is called Adni. This is as written, sing to Adni, sing to the Creator, to the rider in the firmaments of East, may he raise his voice, a strong voice. And we have to understand, why should they give song and praise to the Lord? Does the Creator need a flesh and blood to thank him? And the answer is that the Creator beings must know that everything that they have in their hands is what the Creator gave them, so that through that they will achieve the love of the Creator. And by the love of the Creator, they would always be in adhesion with the Creator. It's written that then the creatures attain Him as the good operator. And if they don't feel Him as the good operator, then they have to be under the dominion of heresy, God forbid, because it is a law that the creature cannot receive any evil from Blessed Be Him in openly, because that is a flaw with his honor, that the creature will attain him as doing bad things. That does not suit the complete operator.
Understood? Ask. Yes, Tzvika?
He says, whereas a rose among the thorns is finer than all the other roses in the world. What does he mean, all the other roses in the world?
The souls that exist without moving towards the goal. They're called plain lilies. The souls that move towards the purpose of creation, that is, transforming the intention to receive to the intention to bestow, they can do so only through suffering in the current state they're in, from that state of reception. They must determine that state as evil, and the state of bestowal and love of others as good. And either they accept it from that force of development, which is like a press of development that presses them, or they are willing to develop such an environment on their own that will show them how much is that state of bestowal is preferable and better. So eventually these are forces forcing man to transform his nature. Without it, there won't be any changes. So the changes, the thorns, must happen. But who builds the changes? Either it's the Creator through His plan, or man through adding his plan of development, which is also unpleasant in the sense that the environment shows him how much he's falling behind as opposed to the society's development. And then as a result of envy, he chases them. It's also thorns, but it's a different kind of thorns. More effective and more kind of, well, sort of more flexible in the sense that they have some sweetness because they also get support from the environment and so forth. So one who develops by the thorns develops well. And that development by the thorns is in fact by the environment. Those who don't develop by the environment, they don't really have the actual thorns because, as we explain, there is no development but through the environment. When he himself participates in his development, because that's how he understands the program of the Creator, that the plan, the thought of creation, that's what we need to attain. Israel comes from the words li rosh, meaning I have a rosh, a head. We have to acquire, that is, the entire program, the plan, the thought of creation, so that I become similar to the Creator. The whole difference between the first state and the third state in reality is that we build that consciousness, that awareness. The Creator wants us to attain His actions. Through your actions, we know you. And so, we can't develop by the thorns that come to us by the natural press of development. Rather, only if we ourselves design such an environment that will sting us every time. But we will be actually developing ourselves by ourselves. And that's called accelerating time. I awaken the dawn.
Now, in these pricks, these stings, there are all kinds of pricks. The question is, when you're being stung, and by that, you know, if I connect to the environment, if I can see...
What do you mean by being stung?
Stung by life, stung by those things that the Creator is sending me.
If the Creator sends you that, it isn't the sting that develops you.
What does it mean, the Creator sends it to me then? I don't understand.
So listen to what I'm telling you. The stings that the Creator sends you, these thorns, they're not the real thorns. Because that is the press of development. You're developing just like the still vegetative and animate levels. It isn't developing the human in you. It's true that it develops you, you'll get some more understanding and emotion from it, but the human level in you will not develop that way, because the human level is such a level of development that you're developing yourself, that you're building an environment, and through the environment, you are willing that they will sting you with the thorns. That is called accelerating time. The human in you only develops by the acceleration path. The thorns that we get from above, from little troubles to huge wars, they're not for the development of the human. It's all a preparation, without which it's impossible. Without it, it's impossible. But they only lead you to the state where you realize, from here on, I must evolve. That's where we are right now. If we don't go out to the public and practically work on shaking them up, and as a result shaking ourselves accordingly, through our active actions, we won't... What are we then? We will be awarded, quote-unquote, or we will be forcing the upper force, so to speak, to give us more blows, more thorns on the level of inanimate, vegetative, inanimate. And just like a beaten animal, we'll keep running and running until we'll be more mindful. Why do I need this? I need to develop what is desired for the Creator and for myself on my own. That's called I awaken the dawn. That's called Israel hasten the times. That's called the degree of Israel as opposed to the degree of the nations of the world. The degree of the nations of the world is that they move forward naturally.
Meaning through the environment I can lower the level of the sting, so I won't feel the stings and...
No. Your question is a different one. You're asking, what's the difference between the stings that I get from the Creator, that is, naturally, and what I do on my own, meaning the stings I make with my own hands through the environment. The stings I get by nature are, you know, through the wife, the kids, the boss at work, the neighbor, the police, the IRS, the banks, all kinds of things. These are the stings. Could be more. Wars, troubles, healthcare, so forth. The stings that I... Meaning it's on the animate level. Where we live inside this life we have, that's called the animate level. The speaking level means that I understand the purpose of creation and I want to move forward to it, and I build an environment that will influence me selectively to exactly move me forward in this pinpointed way. In this accurate way, right, yeah, this accurate way towards the goal, meaning I specifically, precisely relate to the environment in a certain way, and I want to absorb from it a very certain response as well that will direct me to exactly address the purpose of creation. I must absorb from the environment envy. They advance, where am I? They bestow to each other, I'm not. They look at me like some retarded person, and then they disrespect me and so forth, and what do? These are thorns, but qualitative ones. As opposed to suddenly going through a disease, or IRS troubles, or who knows what, at home or whatever. On the animate level, and here is the spiritual level. So you have to design the situation and really be on fire by it.
So according to what you said now, you can actually enjoy it. You can enjoy it on the path, the envy and all of that.
True. You enjoy them helping you to advance, that you actually advance by that. If you actually advance, meaning you then have a certain dual relation to it here. On the one hand, the beast suffers, but the human is happy. True. However, that's more pleasant than the other, and the speed of development is here you actually develop. In the other path, you don't. If you just get these beastly stings in your regular life, you don't advance towards the goal. This is only to push you like a beast so that you finally turn to the environment.
Why? I mean, if you're doing it in due time, you're also advancing towards the goal. Well, slower, not as quick, but...
No. Finally, you understand. You know, dawned on you finally. You haven't heard it before, and maybe some others as well. We don't advance by the regular path of suffering. The regular suffering, every step you go, simply are added and added until you realize that you need the society. The free choice is only in the society. The advancements to becoming Adam, human, Israel, is only through the society. And you'll go through troubles, crises, technological development, whatever you want, only on this surface level and not moving higher. If you want to go higher, you have to move through the environment to choose such a response and from the environment, such a thorn that will push you to move towards the Creator. You otherwise have no vessel. If you're not connected with the environment, you don't have the kli, you don't have the man. You don't have the request to become connected. You don't have the relation to the gathering of Israel to connect everyone together in Malchut, what we call the rose, the lily. So you don't have the Malchut. So where are the thorns? The thorns are supposed to assist the rose. If you're not connected with the group, then then it's not a thorn. It's just beating the beast, not the rose. You first have to design the rose, meaning I want to be a part of the assembly of Israel, the Malchut, that gathers all my friends, all our desires, doesn't matter what, but that. And we have to build our thorns. The rose is built upon the thorns. All these thorns are our desires that are really immersed in the klipot, the shells. What does it mean that all these desires are immersed in the intention to receive? The intention to receive is called the shell. The desire is the desire. That's why the entire bottom nine sefirot of Malchut are below the parsa in the worlds of Biah, because their intentions are in order to receive, and that intention to receive is called that they are shells. They grip the desires, and they don't let them escape the intention to receive. Malchut begins to feel that as thorns. Why? Because it begins to feel that their sparks in the heart, their points in the heart, that are not related to the bottom nine sefirot. They wish to connect within the friends. And they truly wish to connect above the parsa to be the gathering of Israel. And then they see that what prevents them from being connected are these thorns that are below the parsa. Meaning, what are these? They are intentions to receive. So then what do they need to do? They have to change something. What can they do? They can begin to build among them such an environment that will provoke each other, that I don't want to stay within the intention to receive, within the shell. And this is how everyone learns from the others. And then those 10 points who are above the parsa build for themselves a certain wrapping, and that is called the future Malchut, the rose. They wish to be in mutual bestowal to each other. Seemingly, because still the thorns are still below the balsa, the intentions to receive, but they already yearn for something. And as a result, they start asking, and these requests are already somewhat similar to their true request. Although it's not really it yet, it's still false. They're all yelling about wanting to come out of in order to receive, meaning raise the lower ninth sefirot from below the parsa to above the parsa, to add them to the points in the hearts. But it's still, the light still works. Why? Why didn't it work before? Because they already ask through integration. They have a different deficiency coming from the environment, from integration. Certainly it's all in order to receive, but all of them are together already. There's some... why is it called the lo lishma that leads to lishma? Because there is some desire to rise above their nature, and that's how it works. That's called the work of the human, who is still considered wicked, who is still immersed in the shell, but it's already a wicked that is a human, not a beast, when he already designs the forces of development for himself. Yes.
So the whole world has to be in that? You said that now.
No, but you should.
I should, okay, so...
No, don't tell me.
But 90% shouldn't.
99.9, so what? What do I care?
So they have no stings, only we have stings?
No, their stings are beastly stings.
What do you mean, beastly stings?
Okay, so listen, you asked, let me answer. All the world will have and has beastly stings. It's not the thorns. The thorns are the intentions to receive. They don't have intentions to receive, as opposed to intentions to bestow. They don't have that. But the press of development pushes everyone. So they will join us. So that they will join us. Israel is called I own the head, meaning the Rosh. Because we develop the mind that moves towards adhesion. They don't have that. The stings we have is that we develop ourselves to have the Rosh. They go through stings to develop the body that will join the head. We are only the head. We don't have a true will to receive. It's all found in them. And therefore, they will force you through all the suffering that you will undergo to reach the right implementation of the acceleration path. They will force you through blows if you will fall behind. Because they feel bad and they want to advance towards the light that reforms, the light that will fulfill them. And how can they receive the light that will fulfill them? Join the head. And if the head cannot provide them with what they need, then they will come with a demand and they will come and start beating us up. What did you think? Where do you think all of these troubles, such as the Holocaust and so forth, come from?
So I need to understand that they are also thorns, or?
No, you need to give them light. You need to be a light of the nations.
How do I do that?
Be the Rosh. The Rosh couples with the light and brings it to the body.
How do I do that? What do I do with them? I bring them roses?
That's not a problem. They will come help you do whatever you need to do. You don't have a problem with them. Your only problem is actually with yourself. How to do it? Achab galgal tanaim. We'll speak about all of that. Not to get you confused now. But just understand how all these things are right now for our true implementation. You understand? You can't run away from it. You're in the pressure cooker. You know what it means, like a clamp that clamps you from both sides, the Creator on the one hand, and from below, all of His helpers, which are the entire world.
Yuri from Toronto is asking, how can I begin to envy my friends? How can I see that I have friends who have merited the quality of bestowal? How to feel this deficiency as a privilege that I was given from above?
You don't imagine to yourself how much I'm envious at you. I'm telling you seriously. It all depends on the person. It all depends on the person. Look how people develop, how women develop such an envy towards, you know, the rings that other women have. You know, it's the nature of Malchut. This is why it's so evident in women. But according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, our nature is Malchut. So see how women look at each other, how she has this and that and that and so forth. We have to be more envious, more look how this one studies and the other one asks and the third one disseminates, and I have to be envious. Must envy at them, of course. That's also why we need to publicize all kinds of good deeds that we do towards the environment, towards the group. to appreciate people who contribute to the group. I don't hear these things sufficiently. I really don't. And it's missing. We need to make this public so that people can be envious of it.
Ravim from Tbilisi is asking, what is the tension that has to be among the friends? Towards what should it be aimed?
The tension between the friends should be in the regarding the concept of Arvut, first of all. Without it, we'll just move forward like a beast, and who knows when will it end. Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part, the introduction to the lesson.